Welcome to the Ring of Honor review. I'm Oliver Newman.
And I'm Stephen Jackson.
Hi, Stephen. How are you doing tonight?
I'm not too bad, Oliver. It's great to be back on the show and to be able to talk about some more Ring of Honor with a member of the team. I've always enjoyed it in the past, and I'm looking forward to it. So, yeah, are you okay?
Yeah, absolutely fine. Obviously, we had a few technical issues that we've been working on for the last 35 minutes, but I appreciate your patience, and we got there in the end, so that's good. But just a little bit of a background. Ring of Honor has been around since 2002. They were on the Wrestling Channel in 2004 when different main shows were being shown on the Wrestling Channel. And since last Friday, they now have an official television deal here in the UK on the Fight Network. And me and Stephen have really enjoyed the Ring of Honor shows that we've done with my co-host Chris Laffin, and decided to get together and hopefully do a once a week Ring of Honor review of the show that's just taken place. So before we go any further, for anyone who doesn't know mine or Stephen's background when it comes to Ring of Honor, Stephen, take us back in time to when your fandom began with the fantastic company that we were talking about tonight.
Yeah, it actually began sort of near the inception and the beginning of the company. I mean, when Ring of Honor first came about in sort of 2002 was when I first got our computer at home, and I was reading about Ring of Honor, but back then obviously there wasn't YouTube or videos or anything like that on the internet. So it was only around, as you just mentioned, 2004 when the Wrestling Channel came about that I was actually able to see Ring of Honor for the first time. And it was just a complete revelation compared with what I was seeing in WWE and even like TNA. I mean, like the presentation of the product back then, I mean, it's changed a lot now due to them being bought out by Sinclair Broadcasting. But, you know, the really sort of gritty, dark sort of lighting, the emphasis on the in-ring product rather than the interviews and the characters, and just the amazing talent from all across the world. I mean, the United States, Europe, Japan, and then now there's more prominence from Mexico and Lucha Libre with the company now, but back then there was the occasional luchadors who came through, and it was just one of those things which gradually grew. And when I started working, I was able to collect the DVDs and was able to catch up and watch a lot more of the product regularly, and it's just one of those products and one of those promotions where over time I've realized that I do know a lot about the product from following it for so long. And I just love being able to share my knowledge and my, my passion for Ring of Honor with so many people, and being able to, you know, open new people's perspectives to Ring of Honor, which, you know, for a lot of people, they've never even heard of the company, which is what's great about this new TV deal in the UK, is that, you know, so many new fans, because predominantly it's been Impact based as the Fight Network, but having Ring of Honor there as well is really going to help them with that UK fan base, and hopefully some of those Impact fans in the UK will, you know, catch up with Ring of Honor and will go back and watch the stuff me and you have watched from, you know, back in the day, back in 2002, 2003, 2004. So it's just been a gradual thing, which has just been a huge passion of mine. I mean, is that the same for you in that sense?
Yeah, I think, what you were saying is 100% correct. I think I saw Ring of Honor before the Wrestling Channel. So, like little clips and matches were uploaded and stuff, pre-YouTube phase as well. And I just remember being blown away by the unscripted street fight between, my modern day favorite wrestler Paul London and Michael Shane, and I was like, whoa, what is this? And when he's at the top of the ladder and the ladder is basically broken and he's about to jump off and the fans start chanting, please don't die, and I was like, this is this is incredible. They care about the wrestler, which wasn't kind of happening at the time. Obviously, it's become an iconic chant, and it was just a fantastic match. You know, I've shown it to so many people over time. I'd like taped it off the wrestling channel later on and what have you. It would be my go-to match. It's like, I know you don't care about wrestling, but you've got to watch this. And every person I showed it to was like, still don't care about wrestling, but this is amazing. So, yeah, much like yourself. Then it was on the wrestling channel, and I would tune into Supercard Sundays as well as tape the wrestling channel shows during the week. You know, as sad as it might seem and stuff, it was kind of a sticking point on going to university, whether my mum would tape the wrestling on the wrestling channel. I actually said, I'm not going to university unless you tape the wrestling, because that's how into wrestling I was at the time. Because along with Ring of Honor, like you said, New Japan was on there. TNA Impact Wrestling, as it's called now, was on there. World of Sports. Basically, it was the network before the network, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it was incredible. And like you said, in terms of DVDs, I must have bought like 20 at one single point in time because I was a collector. And then it's like, instead of 10 shows, it's like 50 shows. And then you realize, actually, I'm quite poor. I can't afford to keep doing this. So then it became just buying certain shows. And loved the Paul London matches. A friend of mine, Ring of Honor one-time champion Xavier, his matches against Paul London always stood out to me. But Brian Danielson, his ROH title reign was incredible. Lucky enough to be there in Liverpool against Nigel McGuinness.
Highly envious of.
So that was fantastic. And yeah, just everyone kind of got the start in Ring of Honor. And because it's not been on TV for the longest time here in the UK, I know you can watch it online and stuff, but it's not the same as a TV deal. Everyone who's come through the business has probably started at Ring of Honor. And, it's just been unfortunate that obviously it's been an internet wrestling show in like the aftermath of HDNet when I probably stopped watching. And like I said, I was going to give it a fresh slate with this new TV deal. And like we said, spoke to yourself, wanted to get this off the ground and do a weekly ROH review to go along with our NWA Power review that the Foxes do, Mark and his brother Richard. So always adding new content to Broken But Glorious, and just wanted to do this really. We've talked about doing an ROH project for the longest time, and this just come along, and it was like we're both on the same page when it comes to the Ring of Honor. We want it to be successful, probably because of everything it's given us in the past. And, you got two impartial people here who obviously want huge success for the company. And we're going to tune in, we're going to watch, and we're going to review. So, here we are, basically.
Yeah, well said.
This is Big Mike, Michael Elgin, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
So, with that being said, with the background of myself and Stephen being covered, we can head into the review. And, I'll ask you questions. I think that's the best way to do it, Stephen, and we'll just, go through the whole show. So, hosts Ian Riccaboni and Quinn McKay, are we happy with them as hosts for the show?
Yeah, I think I've always been a big fan of Ian Riccaboni. I think he's a really good face of the company. I think after Kevin Kelly, who was such an iconic Ring of Honor announcer, after he was after he got his play-by-play role in New Japan, I feel he was the best person to take over from his from his role. He's really passionate and he's really good at his job. He reminds me very much of Joey Styles, but he has a lot of the same enthusiasm, and you can see the passion in his announcing. And Quinn McKay is a great breath of fresh air for the company. You know, a female host. Ring of Honor has predominantly been, as we've said before, I think on the podcast, you know, predominantly been a male, masculine company. But having a female host, I think, is really, you know, going to broaden things out. And she's, you know, she's really, again, insightful. She's engaging. And I feel they really complement each other well, and I like that presentation at the beginning. I mean, from watching the program online, they've shook things up a lot. It used to be a lot more match, and there wasn't really much in between. Whereas now, I like the fact that there's a bit of hosting at the beginning, and then the highlight style of it. I mean, obviously, if this was the first time you'd seen the program, you wouldn't have seen the previous, but from seeing how it's changed to now, I feel it's at the best place it's been in a while in terms of, if this was the first time you'd seen Ring of Honor on TV, it's a really good place to start. And I feel that they, you know, will hopefully become a really good, you know, double act on the programme. And it was just a good breath of fresh air. I mean, do you agree in that sense, Oliver?
Yeah, for me, my first hearing Ian Riccoboni was at All In, prelude to All Elite Wrestling, and I thought his set commentary was fantastic. And I'm not too familiar with Quinn McKay, so it was, like you say, it's always good to have a female perspective in a male-dominated world. So I thought she did a good job in this instance, and yeah, they seem to have good chemistry, which is always good, really. Next up was the opening theme package, and basically it just said what we've said in the previous 10 minutes about everyone coming for a Ring of Honor. So yeah, that was nice, and I guess a little bit sweet at the same time, as in you know, Ring of Honor has got to, you know, rebuild, and we kind of go from there, in all honesty. And then we go to the highlights of the Battle Royal to earn the ROH World Title match. And this show is kind of based on some of Glory by Honor.
Yeah.
I was happy with this, and I'll get your thoughts in a second, in terms of it not being like a full battle royal, which I think can get a bit kind of all over the place, just kind of showing the ending of it and who wins and stuff. Big Daddy Yum Yum kind of jumped at me. He had a previous alias of Angel of Sin, and I met him in 2008 at a random wrestling show, which had Bryan Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr. So that was pretty cool to see him in, you know, such a big promotion and stuff. Silas Young would go on to win this battle royal, the last real man. You know, what did you think of the highlights to this match?
Yeah, I thought they were really good. I mean, Big Daddy Yum Yum was known to me through about 5 years ago when he was briefly part of New Japan. And I hadn't really seen much of his work, but I think he has improved a hell of a lot. And Brian, I can never pronounce his name, Brian Milanus, I think it is, the big bruiser who normally teams up with BF City Bruiser. He's just a monster. Like, he's just absolutely huge. He's a lot like Roadkill, who was in ECW. He's just absolutely just enormous. And he's the kind of person you would have at the end of a battle royal, you know, either to blast through all of the combatants, and then you've got the final person there who gets the victory. And Silas Young did win, as you mentioned, did win the match. And I'm really pleased that Silas won, because Silas has been working his way up the ladder in Ring of Honor for years, from just being a prelim guy or being an opening guy in these scramble matches to now being one of the figureheads of the company. I mean, former TV champion as well. And he's just got a really intense look. He's very much, you know, he reminds me very much of, I've read about his links briefly to Stan Hansen, very much that sort of Texan 70s wrestling look. But he's really, really talented and a really athletic wrestler, which really surprised me just how athletic he was still. And yeah, I thought it was a great start to the show, and it really helped then later on as we went through the show to just see the pacing of it. So we went from the Battle Royal to then to the main event, and I thought that was a really nice connection between the show as a whole. So so yeah, those were my thoughts on the opening match.
Yeah, like you said, it kind of set the scene for the show in general. And yeah, in terms of the commentary team, Colt Cabana and Caprice Coleman got added to the commentary with Ian Riccoboni. Are we happy with that commentary team?
I've heard them in the past. I really like Ian Riccoboni and Colt Cabana. I think they're a fantastic mix. I think they're one of the most underrated current announced teams in the business, actually. I think that they really bounce off each other well, and I think that they really have a really good TV announced team style. Caprice Coleman, I'm in two minds about him. I think that he's a good announcer, but at the same time they don't really need him there at the same time. Sometimes I feel like he's okay once in a blue moon, but throughout the whole show I can't really say that I'm a big fan of his. But I do like his announcing. I just feel that Ian and Cole are the should be just a two-man team, and then maybe have Caprice come in now and again. I just don't want him to be there all the time. But I have heard him in the past from watching the program previously, so I've had to listen to him quite a lot, and it can get a bit grating at times.
I think in general in wrestling, a two-man or a man and woman team or what have you, two people seem to be better than three. In all honesty, not knowing too much about this commentary team apart from Ian Riccoboni, I'll see how it goes down the line, but definitely I think two is better than three on an announced team.
Yeah, I mean, I thought with the first episode of AEW Dynamite, I really liked Excalibur, and I like, just as a comparison, I like Excalibur and I like JR and I like Tony Schiavone, but all three of them together, I feel it just didn't, maybe it's just me personally, but I feel it just didn't gel as well as I was hoping. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if you had the two, maybe Tony Schiavone and Excalibur or Excalibur and JR, I feel it would work a bit better. And I think it's the same here where Colt and Ian work better together than Ian, Colt and Caprice.
Got ya. And then to the first match, which I'm absolutely waxy lyrical about. that's my one. Alex Shelley against the Octopus, Jonathan Gresham. I thought this match was incredible. The reason why I wanted to start this review show, in all honesty, Shelley's obviously, been injured. 40 was retiring, come back recently. Jonathan Gresham is, a fantastic technical wrestler. And this was just perfect to me. It made me long for the days of the pure wrestling division and the pure wrestling title. I think it's something that Ring of Honor should really, really think about, because when you look at how to differentiate yourself from another company, for Impact Wrestling, it was the X Division title and then the Knockouts title. And for Ring of Honor, in all honesty, it was pure wrestling. And this was the absolute perfect match for me. It actually got me thinking about a dream match scenario, which I'm not sure is taking place. I'll throw it to you to see if it has. But I really want to see after this match, Alex Shelley versus Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Because the technical ability in this match, the hold for hold, the different body points that were, and joints that were used in the match, it was just incredible. And for me, being a big technical wrestling fan, I just thought it was absolutely fantastic. And we haven't got a main show this week at BBG podcast, but for those who know me, they know about my positive in pro wrestling, and this would have been my pick. Absolutely loved every second of this, from the sportsmanship used in the match to the point where, okay, that's no longer working. So then, you know, they had to be more aggressive. Just obviously to the lead up to the ending and stuff. And obviously, you know, I'll come to yourself before we talk about the post-match. But yeah, this was fantastic. This was everything that Ring of Honor has ever been, and really made me want to push forward with this ROH weekly review.
I just thought everything you've just said, I completely agree with. I thought this was a phenomenal, phenomenal match. You know, I've been singing the praises of Jonathan Gresham for several years. I think he's the best technical wrestler in the world. I think I love the fact that he's harking back to the sort of Bryan Danielson look with his robe, and he's really taking on the octopus character with his robe as well, the octopus arm. And Alex Shelley, from, you know, he's just an incredible talent, like one of the most crisp and you know, technically sound wrestlers of the past 15 years possibly, and he's such a you know, they just worked so beautifully together. The chemistry was just so on point, and the working of the arm, the, like you mentioned, the sportsmanship, the counters. It was very much very World of Sport based, in the sense that it was just chain wrestling after chain wrestling, and it was just one of those. It was one of those matches which would appear on a Ring of Honor DVD we'd buy back in, say, like 2005 or 2006. Mm-hmm. Which was, like you said, even for the pure title, or was just one of the singles matches on the card, which just blew away everything else on that particular card, and that's what you remembered the most. And, you know, the crowd were into it. It wasn't, that was one thing which was sad, is, or I think is sad going forward, is that Ring of Honor crowds aren't what they used to be, but mm-hmm. I feel that they really worked their asses off to make this crowd, you know, stand up and listen. And it was just a fantastic TV match, which could have been on any pay-per-view and would have just tore the house down. And they just, I just want to see them wrestle again as soon as possible, because if this was the first, I mean, I don't know if they've had any prior encounters. They may have done without me knowing, but I don't know how many they've had. But it was just, I want to see them wrestle again next week. It was wonderful.
Yeah, 2 out of 3 falls next time.
Definitely.
But yeah, it, like I said, you know, they've got to seriously think about the pure title or some kind of variation of it, because you just put this kind of match on any show, and at least you've got this match which just says Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Even if everything else just isn't how you want it to be, people will go to this match and go, wait a second, we can't see this anywhere else. This is a reason to support Ring of Honor.
Definitely.
So, yeah, looking at the post-match, Gresham let his aggressiveness get the best side of him, sorry. You know, shoved the ring crew member aside and grabbed the steel chair. Jay Lethal hit the ring and, you know, tried to convince him that, you know, you've had a great match here, nothing to be ashamed of. And in the end, he talked Jonathan Gresham into shaking Alex Shelley's hand. So all's well that ends well, then.
You'd hope so. I mean, Jonathan Gresham is one of those guys as well, where he's got such a layered personality. I mean, in other promotions, he's so good at being a heel as well. The turn is always sort of there, and him and Jay Lethal have had quite a interesting relationship as first, you know, opponents, and then becoming tag team partners over the past year. And, you know, I think what I like the most about Jonathan Gresham, again, and this harks back to the Bryan Danielson thing, is that although Bryan Danielson, when he was in his Ring of Honor run, was the Ring of Honor championship run, was the dastardly heel, he still always shook his opponent's hand. He always upheld the sportsmanship as much as he could. And I think that's the clever thing with Jonathan Gresham as well, where he sees that. You can see that he's a student of Brian Danielson in the sense of even like his little mannerisms and his, not just his technical ability, but he understands the psychology of being, you know, it's like, I'm going to be the sort of, as they say, like a tweener in the sense that you may not like me, but you've got to respect me because I'm going to respect you as a competitor. Mm-hmm. And I think he's just got a really, really, I really want to see him with the world championship at some point, Jonathan Gresham. I feel he deserves it. And this match is proof, and he could bring Ring of Honor back to its roots of being a pure wrestling company. And it was just a great way to kick off the first episode here in the UK. I mean, what a first match for people to see from Ring of Honor. I mean, just everything about the company just there in one match. It was fantastic.
Yeah, basically, when I put the show on and I was like, that's Alex Shelley, that's Jonathan Gresham, I need some popcorn. this is going to be great. So, loved it. And we could talk all night about it, but we're 27 minutes in, so we need to move on.
Yeah.
But yeah, the next thing that was shown was ROH World Television Champion Shane Taylor. My introduction to the man. Thought this was a fantastic promo. Doesn't care about social media relevancy. He wants the single reign defense record and become the greatest champion that ROH has seen inside and outside the ring. Short, concise, and effective.
Definitely. Another man who's come through Ring of Honor and has really paid his dues. And he reminds me very much of, you know, the gangsters and New Jack in his style, in that he doesn't have friends, he's just himself. And he's a really, really talented, I mean, we didn't see it in this first episode, but he's a really talented wrestler, as well as being a really talented promo guy. And Ring of Honor have never really got a lot of praise for their promos, but this was a brilliant promo, and he can pull great promos when, you know, he's given the opportunity.
100%. Well, actually, it's my first scene, but also I don't know that to be 100%, but really impressed based on the debut of me seeing him. The next thing was TKO Ryan and Vincent, bear with me, Masagila.
Yeah, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Okay, because when it comes to Japanese names, I know he's not Japanese, but that's where I usually have issues pronouncing, so hopefully I got that correct.
We can't even call him Vinny M because of Vincent McMahon.
Okay, they were found unconscious backstage, and from there the ROH staff went to Marsigla, I'm gonna say that's correct, interrogated him, trying to find out what happened. This is a little bit strange because obviously you need to know the backstory. They did the best to, you know, to get that across in this 2-minute window and stuff, but because this is the first show, it was difficult to see how this had all happened. What did you make of this?
Yeah, a bit like you in the sense that I think for people who haven't been following the company, you know, over the past, you know, year, it'd kind of be a bit lost on them. I mean, they're both, you know, talented wrestlers, and, you know, I do like them as part of the kingdom. I just feel that had Ring of Honor, it's a bit like, you don't know how much in advance they knew about the UK debut or how it affected what they were presenting. Because also they were presenting the product to the, you know, regular audience as well over in the USA. But I felt like maybe at this period in time they could have had something else, maybe for us here in the UK, maybe like a highlight package or something, just because it'd make more sense if you, like you just mentioned, if you knew the backstory to what was going on. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a terrible segment or anything like that. It was just, you need to know what had happened beforehand, especially because it didn't really have much relevance going forward. It may do next week, but because it was just there, it didn't really make much relevance later on. So unlike the Battle Royal, which then was meant, you know, became the main event later on.
Yeah. I think the difficult part with this is it's from a show. Like, it's from Glory Barner. It's not from TV tapings.
Yeah.
So it's difficult because that was the thing with the Wrestling Channel. It was from unscripted. It was from expect the unexpected. So you got the show taped for the hour or the 45 minutes because obviously the breaks. So I think I can kind of give them, you know, a little bit of credit here. They tried to explain what happened and tried to get across this, you know, someone's being attacked and they found out a suspect and they, you know, interrogated the suspect and stuff. It's just, it was like, well, you know, when did this happen?
Yeah.
Because obviously you'd have to go back to said show to see the attack. But they did their best to try and explain it. So I'm not going to say that was a bad thing. It was just a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
So yeah, the next thing that happened is, you know, British, you know, wrestling superstar Mark Haskins is now involved in a feud with legendary Bully Ray. You know, this has included Ray insulting Haskins' wife, Vicky Haskins. And yeah, it's just, once again, this looks like it's out of nowhere. But by the same token, during the video package, you can understand why Haskins hates Bully Ray, why Bully Ray, you know, hates Haskins, and you know, that's the road we're going down. And given the ability of both men, with a no DQ kind of stipulation, I'm sure they'll tear the house down.
Yeah, I mean, Bully Ray's been in Ring of Honor for, I think it's about 18 months, maybe a little bit longer. I'm a bit disenchanted with Bully Ray. He's just, I've had my time with him, but he's a great heel for the promotion, and he has a lot of star power, and from his time in WWE and TNA, so a lot of fans who will have checked into this will have been like, oh, that's, you know, that's Bubba Ray, or, you know, that's Bully Ray, you know, so it helps in that sense. But yeah, I mean, I'm really pleased for Mark Haskins as well, because he's such an ambassador for British wrestling, and it's great that he's, you know, in Ring of Honor, and you know, it's really, really good to see him in a prominent feud with someone as legendary as Bully Ray, and he's able, and his wife as well, with Vicky as well, because Vicky's a really talented wrestler as well, and they really are a brilliant, you know, combination, because they are married in real life as well, so that adds to that chemistry they share.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it was a great, you know, it was a great segment, and it was a great, you know, package, and although you needed slightly to know what was going on, it wasn't to the point where, like the previous segment, it felt kind of out of place.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel it was one of those things where it was the groundwork for something to go forward from. And I feel it, you know, is something, you know, exciting. And I feel that it's a really good opportunity for people who aren't very familiar with Haskins to be able to see what he's able to deliver in the ring.
Absolutely. You know, I've seen Haskins, you know, over in the UK during different shows and stuff. And he was always a star on the rise. I think, you know, unfortunately, he had some issues with TNA Impact Wrestling. And unfortunately, they happened on, you know, TV shows and pay-per-views and stuff. And I'm just glad that he's rebounded from that, really. Because that must have been really difficult to take. This is your big chance, and it just didn't go his way. So glad he's rebounded, because he's a fantastic talent, and obviously him and Vicky a fantastic tandem. And yeah, he's got a blank page, a clean slate to go and show you know, the Ring of Honor fans exactly who he is and what he's about. And I couldn't be more excited to see it, in all honesty.
Yeah.
And then moving on to the main event, the genius Lanny Poffo joined the commentary of Rick Abboni and Cabana.
Yeah.
What did you make of this?
I thought, I've always really enjoyed Lanny. I've always thought he was a really great promo guy. I think in recent years, after his brother Randy, after he passed away as well, I like the fact that he's come back into the spotlight, but he's been able to, you know, do commentary or make appearances for smaller companies like, you know, Ring of Honor. And he's not just kind of stuck with the WWE side of things. And I think he was a great mix into the commentary team. I think he's got a really good voice, like Randy had when he was on Raw back in the early 90s. I feel that Lanny's got a really good voice for announcing. I just feel he's got such a great tone to his voice. He's so engaging. And I just feel he complimented Ian and Colt really well. And it was just fun to listen to him on commentary for a change.
Fantastic. Yeah, we go on to the main event, the last real man, Silas Young, against El Toro Blanco.
Rush.
Yeah, not Rush.
Not Rush.
It's
Rush.
Not, you know, oh, what a Rush. No, it's Rush. Yeah, and for, you know, the first viewing of Rush, I'm going to always get that one right. Yeah, the only thing I would say, you know, I love the Tranquilo pose mid-match. I thought that was really cool. And then it got me thinking, you know, him and Andrade would be a great tag team.
Definitely.
The only thing that I didn't like in this match, I don't like the finisher.
Yeah.
I don't like the running dropkick. I think it's called the bull's horns.
Yeah.
I don't think that is a credible finisher in today's day and age. He looks really good in the ring, you know, fast paced and you know, like a brilliant Lucha Libre wrestler. Silas Young is obviously a throwback, as we mentioned before. Not on board with the finisher, in all honesty. You know, if stomps are being kicked out of and F5s and whatever else, I mean, everything kind of gets kicked out of nowadays. I'm not sure why a running dropkick into the corner could end the match. But that's because we're in a different, period in wrestling. If it was a 1980s match, it's going to end the match. And we'd be completely happy with that. Excuse me. But in 2019, I'm not quite sure about that finisher. What do you think, Stephen?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that Rush, I think his his finisher it's just questionable, like you said, in terms of today when, you know, you've got so many people kicking out so many things and, you know, moves are getting more dangerous and, you know, sort of over the top in terms of... you know, like even Lanny said in terms of on commentary, in terms of the athleticism, that back in his day, the wrestlers weren't as athletic as they are now. Mm-hmm. And it just feels a bit of a flat finish. It was one of those sort of matches where, like, a bit like those squash matches where it suddenly just finished. I mean, the crowd, like I said, the crowd were, if you looked at them, they weren't a full house, sadly, which I think really affects
you.
Yeah,
I did notice that, unfortunately.
Which is a shame. But I don't know if that as well is down to the placement of the hard camera and the directing of the program as well. But, you know, you can just see that it's dwindled as the, where they're running and the amount of fans they're getting into the shows.
Yeah.
But it was a fun match. It was a fun main event. It was compared with the previous match, it was more of a standard TV show wrestling main event where but it wasn't a terrible match in any stretch of the imagination.
It was absolutely fine. It was
it's just
the standout thing was for me was obviously the finish of the match.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a good champion in Rush. You know, for the longest time the ROH fans weren't happy with Matt Taven as champion. So you know, you want a new champion. You've got a new champion.
That's actually the opposite. I really liked Matt. I like Matt.
Oh, okay.
I may be in a minority there.
Matt Taven, sorry. I knew the pronunciation would go again. You know, when the ladder match happened at Madison Square Garden, I was, you know, one of the people who was, just hoping and praying for Mighty Skrull to win the match.
Yeah.
I think then we would have gone down a different path, in all honesty. I think the Ring of Honor is still paying for that mistake. But, you know, as a standalone show, just to wrap things up, Shelley versus Gresham was fantastic. And obviously, if the ROH World Championship wasn't on the line in the main event, it should have main evented.
Yeah,
but we know that the world championship has to go after every match, unless it's an unsanctioned match, much like All Elite Wrestling did on Saturday night at Full Gear. From this debut show, what are your final thoughts there, Stephen?
I think it was a really good introduction for British fans into Ring of Honor. You got to see a lot of the talent. You got to see what the actual in-ring product is about in different aspects. You got to see the presentation as well. I think the presentation of Ring of Honor, like the graphics and the style of it and the ring skirts and everything, I think that's all great. I think that's all really good. It's just a shame that on TV, the crowds are just a lot smaller than they used to be. But I don't know as well whether that was just where they were running the program from as well, or the episode from. But I think if you were wanting to have a introduction or a first episode going forward in the UK, I feel it was a great first show. And as you just mentioned as well, in terms of having the main event be a world championship match, it's always good, if you're having a debut, to have the world champion on the first show just to establish who is the top guy in the promotion, to see who everyone will try and, be chasing for that title. I think it was a great debut, and I'm really excited to see what comes next and to be able to hopefully talk about things going forward.
Yeah, it's like I said to you off air, when we was getting ready to do this ROH review show, the problems with ROH aren't in ring. The wrestling, because we've talked about booking and stuff in the past. The wrestling and the wrestlers are giving it their all. They got a clean slate over here in the UK last week. You need to go out your way to see Shelley versus Gresham, because that's one of the best technical wrestling matches I've seen in recent memory. In terms of everything else, like you said, it's just introductions to different people. And really, a really good show, I think. Definitely go out your way to see Alex Shelley versus Jonathan Gresham.
This is mostly listening to Broken But Glorious podcast.
We're getting ready to see episode 2 here in the UK on Friday. And, I've just read this online and I want to just get your quick thoughts on it and stuff. Mighty Skrull versus PCO from Glory by Honor, main events, another pointless episode of the worst wrestling show on TV. And it's like, oh my gosh, why are we always tearing things down? Do you know what I mean? It's unbelievable. But yeah, throwing that over to you, Stephen. We won't go into too much detail, but obviously that's just the headline of it.
Yeah. I feel it's... I was thinking about this as well, is that you've got to think that Ring of Honor has such a legacy, attached to it, that now the company is completely different to what it was 17 years ago. Mm. And, Ring of Honor has always predominantly been a live experience thing, I think. But in terms of being the worst TV wrestling, I completely disagree with that. I mean, look at what WWE's been churning out over the past... past year, for God's sake.
Last night's Raw wasn't a good viewing if you're a NXT UK fan.
I just think it's
terrible
ridiculous.
For them.
I just think it's ridiculous what people say, and it's like, just give the company a chance. Like, it's not what it was, but they've got a really hungry roster. They're trying new things, and PCO and Mask Girl again are two really talented. I mean, PCO, I won't spoil it for people, but you will be, I expect you'll be really surprised, but really, shocked by what PCO can bring. And Mad Skrull, a huge ambassador for the UK and the UK revolution. But it's just people just putting things out there to get hits on websites, and it's like, it's not...
Or just don't write about the, another pointless episode of the worst wrestling show on TV. Go and watch, something else.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't go there churning about WWE sucking all the time. It's like, I'll say if there's something positive. It's not like everything in WWE is dreadful. It's just a lot of it is, but there's the odd thing what's good. But I don't watch it because I don't want to... you know, waste my time watching something I don't enjoy a lot of the time. But I don't, I mean, I'm not negative about it to then try and change other people's minds. But yeah, just
I don't think it'll be another pointless episode of the worst wrestling show on TV. Otherwise, we'll probably be one and done, Stephen, to be honest. Exactly. Because I can't have that negativity in my life.
No, I'm the same.
But yeah, in all honesty, you know, we've looked at this. We wanted to do an ROH project. This, you know, television deal came up on the Fight Network. And, you know, you've said to me, you know, have a look at Ring of Honor. And I think it's one of these things where, just in general, when it comes to wrestling, don't read the results. Watch the show.
Yeah.
That's what's become apparent to me, because you can read the results and think, you know, just quickly, I know it's a little bit off topic and stuff, but just talking about Bound for Glory, for example, you know, wanted Tessa Blanchard to win the X Division title, wanted Sami Callihan to win the Impact Wrestling World title, wanted Tessa to use Option C, and then Sami Callihan against Tessa at Slammiversary or something like that. And then you read the results. Ace Austin wins and he's a fantastic character. Brian Cage wins and you're thinking, okay, they've really messed it up. But if you look at the matches, actually watch the show, it was a really good show. And the link that I sent to you, which was Mara Fuji against Michael Elgin, friend of the show, that was an incredible match.
Yeah.
Well, if you read the results and you didn't kind of, like I said, I read the result for Alex Shelley versus Jonathan Gresham, and it basically said that Alex Shelley won in 14 minutes. I was like, well, where's the play-by-play?
Yeah.
I did play-by-play in my books and stuff, and it's like, well, you're not going to talk about the match in any way, shape, or form, but you're gonna talk bad about it. And it's like, I'm just really confused, but watching Bound for Glory, like I was talking about, the booking and stuff might have been a little bit off, especially in the Shamrock Moose match, for example. but in terms of in
Moose versus Roosh,
Moose versus Roosh, Roosh and Andrade against Moose and somebody else. you know, if we were doing your fantastic fancy booking card that I read on the Wrestling Estate. Cheap plug for you there, Stephen. I don't know where I'm going with this point, but basically just watch the show, listen to his podcast, and then go and watch Alex Shelley versus Jonathan Gresham, basically, in summing up. But I think that just needs to be said. I mean, if you don't enjoy a wrestling company, don't watch it.
Exactly.
You know, people say, oh, well, I watch wrestling because I want it to get better and stuff. And, okay, I understand that point of view. But if you don't like WWE, go and watch New Japan. If you don't like New Japan, go and watch All Elite Wrestling. If you don't like All Elite Wrestling, watch Ring of Honor. If you don't like Ring of Honor, watch Major League Wrestling. If you don't like Major League Wrestling, go watch NWA Power. There's so much out there. And if you include the fact that by a click of the button, you've got access to any company in the world. We should be, you know, absolutely celebrating this time as wrestling fans, because it's the best time there's ever been. And to still have that negativity, you know, we've talked about the negative aspects, the attendance not quite being there, the fans not being how they used to be. You know, just watching a show, a TV show, which wasn't a TV taping, it's part of a main ROH show. I think they did the best they could do. I'm really interested if they take on TV tapings to see how they would come through on the Fight Network. So, in conclusion for myself, I've wrote a couple of books, based on British wrestling, but with an element of Ring of Honor. I was there in 2006 at Unified, and I was there at the two 2007 shows in March in Liverpool, and that's called The Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. And my third wrestling book, I was there in Orlando to see ROH Supercard of Honor in 2008. I saw a couple of shows there. and that's called A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. Both of those books are available signed on my Big Cartel, fansperspective.bigcartel.com. You can get them from Amazon on paperback and Kindle, free on Kindle Unlimited, and I get paid per pages you read in your first sitting. And yeah, to yourself, Stephen, anything you'd like to promote, talk about your social media, etc.?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @DJ215. I'm also a member of the Wrestling Estate. Our Twitter hashtag, I keep saying hashtag, our handle is @The Wrestling Est. And our website, at The Wrestling Estate, is, you know, has current reviews, has interviews, much like the Broken But Glorious website, you know, has exclusives. We have our weekly roundtables where we, you know, discuss various aspects of the industry. And, you know, if anyone ever wants to, if anyone wants to watch more Ring of Honor or wants any recommendations, just send me a tweet or just, you know, get in contact on the Wrestling Estate and I'll share some, you know, some matches or, you know, some segments what you might enjoy. And just so people know, if people are wondering when Ring of Honor is on the Fight Network, it's on this coming Friday at 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. On channel 192 on Sky. I'm unsure if it's on. I presume Showcase is in the Fight Network, it's on Virgin Media as well, but I don't know what channel they are off the top of my head, sadly. But if you have Sky, it's 192 and it's at 9 o'clock, so 9 o'clock at night to see the next episode of Ring of Honor in the UK. And yeah, thank you again, Oliver, and the Broken But Glorious podcast for having me again. It's been great, and looking forward to doing it again, possibly next week.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And just in finishing, we at BBG Wrestling have a sponsorship with Powerslam.tv. See, I tell you about the click of the button, seeing any promotion you want. They've got over 6,500 hours of wrestling. Available over 140 promotions, I think, on last hearing. And we've got a code for a free month, and that's Broken Free. I myself have took in a little bit of PowerSlam.tv. I watched friend of the show, Jody Fleisch, the Phoenix. Hitting high spots. And I watched the Montreal Fury. If you've got an extra 5.5 hours of time on your hands, that's always a good thing to watch, the before, during, the aftermath of the Montreal Screwjob. And I watched the Monday night debate between Bruce Pritchard from the WWF side of things and Eric Bischoff from WCW. And the host is the AEW champion, sorry, Le Champion, Chris Jericho. So that was good viewing. And in terms of my social media, I'm on Twitter @Brumial, Instagram @Brumial as well. Facebook is facebook.com/fansperspectiveuk. And for the podcast, it is twitter.com. The handle is BBG Wrestling. The podcast handle is BBGWpod. The website is bbgwrestling.com. And yeah, I think that's everything, in all honesty. And yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure talking Ring of Honor with you, Stephen. We said we'd get a project done, and we've kind of started something. So really enjoyed tonight's episode. It's been a lot of fun. And yeah, we'll be back next week, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. And yeah, that's good evening from me, Oliver Newman, and
that's good night from Stephen as well. So thank you, Oliver, again, and thank you, BBG.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
Thanks.
Bye.